If you have your Bibles today, I want you to open up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We started a little series last week entitled The Battleground, as you can see up here on the screen. And, you know, you hear a lot of talk nowadays. You talk to a lot of believers and said a lot of standard questions. How you doing? And people say, well, man, it's been a battle lately. You know, it's been a battle and so forth. And we want to cover some of those things because there is victory in battle. Amen. And, you know, if at any point in your life as a believer you haven't been in some type of battle, it will come. Amen. But the good news is that we've already won. Jesus already won the victory for us. And our job is to enforce Satan's defeat. Amen. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, you'll see up here on the screen. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. All right. The Amplified of that same verse says this. If you bring that up there, there it is right there. It says, to keep Satan from getting an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. Okay. Another translation says schemes and strategies. Okay. So the enemy can take advantage of us if we don't know how he operates. Amen. The good thing about it is that the Bible is an open book test. Okay. And if the devil brings a test our way of any kind, we already have the answers in the Word of God as to how we're going to combat him. Okay. So I want to talk some things about this today. If you would go over to Matthew chapter 4 again, I want to just review a little bit from last week, if you would. Matthew chapter 4. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 is a really interesting. And I remember when I was a young believer and I read this and I thought, wow, it's actually a whole chapter on Jesus having combat and a battle with the devil in the wilderness. You know what I mean? And like exactly what happened. This is exactly what happened. But notice in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4, it says this, that Jesus was led up into the Spirit into the wilderness there, and he was tempted of the devil. And so when he had fasted 40 days, he was afterward hungry. And it says, verse 3, it says, when the tempter came to him, he said, now notice the devil's called the tempter. So who tempts? Satan. Satan's the tempter. He's called the tempter. And it says that when the tempter, verse 3, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. All right. But notice verse 4. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we see here that this is a valid temptation where Satan is tempting him after, you know, I don't know about most people, but after one meal, you're hungry. Here's 40 days and 40 nights. And so Jesus is actually, he's passing the test that Adam failed. Where did Adam fail in the Garden of Eden? With what? Food, right? The devil tempted him with food and he failed. And he was called the first Adam. Adam in the Garden of Eden, he was called the first Adam. Jesus is called the last Adam or the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15. So Jesus passed the test that Adam failed. And so he was doing that for us, okay? But he noticed that Jesus said this in reference to that temptation. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he's actually, Jesus is quoting a scripture out of the book of Deuteronomy, all right? And evidently, it must have defeated the devil because he had to move to the next temptation, okay? So he quoted the word of God there. Now look at verse 5. It says, then the devil taketh him up to a holy city to set him on the top of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. All right. And so again, Jesus is, there's a second temptation. And what does Jesus do? He pulls out a scripture from the book of Deuteronomy again, quotes it to the enemy, defeats the enemy. And now he's got the third temptation here. Okay. All right. It says in verse 8, it says, and again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Well, verse 11 is what I like. And the devil left him. Say, the devil left him. Okay. And behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So we see here, we saw this last week, that three separate temptations. And on every one of these temptations, what did Jesus do? He spoke the word of God to the enemy, right? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the enemy left him. And then the angels came and ministered after he spoke the word of God. Amen. Now, what's interesting about this is Jesus is not... People put Jesus in a class all by himself, and they said, well, you know, that's Jesus. He can do that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's it's almost like saying, don't try this at home. This could be dangerous to your health. You know what I mean? Jesus was actually showing you and I how to operate in this earth. Amen. He was showing us how to operate in this earth. And he said, when he quoted the scripture, we can do the same thing. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, in the Gospel of John. So the same thing that Jesus did, you and I have the ability to do that, right? And but notice that Jesus used the scripture. He was in a, this was a battleground. But notice that Jesus' arsenal against the enemy was not physical. You know, he didn't pull out a big knife. He didn't pull out a big gun. Okay, he didn't pull out any natural weapons. That, of course, that back then they just had knives and stuff like that, but there were no guns. But today we'd say guns and knives and that kind of a thing. But see, the devil's spiritual, and you have to fight him on a spiritual weapons. If you try to fight the enemy with physical weapons, you'll lose because he's a spiritual being, and the Word of God is spiritual, and so Jesus fought the enemy and resisted the enemy with the word of God by saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. Let me give you an example. There have been times in my life where the enemy tried to put some kind of sickness on my body, for example. And the Lord has instructed me to say the same thing. Satan, it is written, by his stripes I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Amen. It is written, Satan, in Matthew 8:17, himself, Jesus, took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. And the devil left. Amen? See, the enemy's afraid of the Word of God. Did you know that? He's afraid of the Word of God. Can I tell you a little situation that happened to me a number of years ago? This is back in, to be exact, it was the month of February 1989. And my wife and I, this is before we had children, we had gone down to Tulsa, Oklahoma to visit my to be in the Winter Bible Seminar, the school that I graduated from, you know. And so we had a little bit extra time. So we went down. My wife's brother lived in Oklahoma City, which is 2 hours south of Tulsa. You just take the Interstate 35, go due south, you're right in Oklahoma City. So make a long story short, we went down there to visit with her brother, John, and wife, Melissa, and just for a couple of days before the seminar started, and we go back to Tulsa, all right? So here we are. We go down there. We've already driven from Pittsburgh to Tulsa, which is kind of an insane drive anyway. It's pretty far, you know. And so anyway, we get down there to visit him. We hadn't seen him in a while. They live in an apartment complex, all right, and there's two floors. He's on the bottom floor. There's people on the top floor. In this apartment complex, there's several buildings. It's all the same apartment complex, but there's several buildings. You know, you get the picture. He's on the bottom floor. Well, we go in. We're visiting. I'm a little bit tired just from driving so much, you know. And so this is back in the day when everybody had water beds. Okay, remember water beds? They were real popular. I don't know if they're popular today or not, but, you know, probably not. But I just wanted to check it out, and I was a little bit tired anyway. So I go, hey, do you mind if I just go lay down for a while in my brother-in-law's bed? He goes, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead, you know. So my wife stayed out there and fellowshipped in the kitchen area with her brother and our sister-in-law. And what happened to me, I no more expected to happen to me than I expected to be the next astronaut to land on the moon. But I went in there, and I laid on this bed, and I started getting real comfortable, and I'm laying there, I thought, wow, this is great, you know. And something happened to me. It was a supernatural experience what happened was I was just laying there, and all of a sudden, there's this, like, behind my head, there's one of these... like a bookshelf that's attached to the bed, you know, and there's books and stuff up there and everything. And when I was laying there, and I'm just laying there just minding my own business, and all of a sudden I heard this voice speak from behind my head. I'm laying there on this bed, like I said, trying to get some rest. And I heard this voice. It was actually a female voice that spoke from behind me, okay? And I thought, you know, a thousand and one things go through your mind at this time. You know, I heard this audible voice. Okay, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm the only one in this room right now, okay? And I had fear hit me like you can't even imagine. I know I'm the only person in the room. There's not a radio behind me. There's no speakers behind me. You know what I'm saying? And it seemed like every hair on the back of my head just stood up. You know what I mean? It was just that kind of fear. You know, you weren't expecting something like that to happen. And this voice kept talking, all right? Someone asked me one time, well, what did it say? I don't know. I was too afraid. Because I wasn't expecting something like that to happen. Because you'll see the disciples freak out when an angel appears to them or something like that. Man, they like bit the dust, you know what I'm saying? The first thing the angel says is, fear not. You know, because there's that natural tendency that when your flesh comes in contact with a spiritual being, you know, you have a tendency to freak out. And I was starting to do that. And but here's what happened inside me where the Holy Ghost lives, all right? The Lord spoke to me authoritatively in the inside of me. It wasn't with these ears. Now, I heard that voice with these ears on the outside. That was audible. I could hear that voice talking, all right? But inside me, the Holy Spirit said, you better do something about that. That's what he said exactly. He said, you better do something about that. Well, what did I do? Nothing at that moment. All right. Now, sometimes you don't know what you'll do in those circumstances. Now, this is in 1989. I know a lot more now than I did back then. So again, a second time, the Lord, that voice kept talking. And this is just within a matter of seconds. And the Lord said, you better do something about that. What did I do? Nothing. And then the third time, I got it on the third time, the Lord said, you better do something about that. All right. This voice kept talking. And so I kind of got up on my elbow like this. And I said this voice keeps talking, you know, and I feel that fear. You know, Satan is the spirit of fear. When you feel fear, you know what that is? That's the enemy. That's all it is. And so I got up on my elbow, and I'm telling you exactly what happened to the T. And I said this. I said, in the name, and as soon as I said name, I didn't even say it the whole sentence yet. I said, in the name. And as soon as I said that, that voice instantly quit. It stopped. Before I even got the name of Jesus out of my lips, that voice quit, instantly quit. And all of a sudden, the Lord showed me something there in that room. Instantly. I didn't have to wait on this. It was an instant thing. And I knew this. It was a word of knowledge that I knew this, that whatever was going on in that room was a result of someone that was upstairs, okay? And I knew whatever that they were involved with, you know, and this incident that happened to me was a result of what was going on up there, okay? How many of you know there are things that people can do to open up the door to the enemy? Are you with me? And but you can close the door too, right? And so now my brother-in-law, I didn't want to freak him out, you know, for one thing. And so you have to use wisdom with people. So I went out there and, you know, collected myself, went out there, sat down with him, got something to drink. I said, John, do you know anything about the people that live upstairs? And now I didn't tell him what happened to me because I didn't want to freak him out because some people don't understand these things. He goes, oh, Keith, he goes, they're into some weird stuff up there, you know, and just crazy type stuff, you know, and occultish type stuff, you know. And so I got my answer right there. I was like, okay, that answers why the Lord showed me. He just revealed to me that whatever was going on came as a result of the people that were upstairs, okay? And whether you realize it or not, there are evil spirits and stuff that are in the earth, all right? When Satan fell, he took one-third of the angels with him. There's evil spirits that are in the earth. Now, the good news is, as believers in Christ Jesus, you have total, complete authority over demons, evil spirits, and things of that nature. Now, that's not my subject this morning, but I wanted to just touch on that. And what astounded me was how quick and how fast that the enemy ceased to in his operations when I started to use the name of Jesus. It was absolutely just mind-boggling to me how quick he responded to that. Okay? And he left when I used the name of Jesus. Now that was a spiritual battle that I was in at that moment. Okay? Now I've never had anything before or since then happen to me like that. Okay? But if it ever happened again, and if it ever happens to you, you use the name of Jesus and it has to stop. Okay? Now I remember a few years later, this is in 1983. I had just graduated from Bible school. And I got my first job working in a church. And I'll just talk about myself a little bit, my background, you know. And I was actually hired as the custodian in a church where I worked. Now, this church was meeting in a theater at the time. In fact, it still does to this day. And it was an inner city church here on the other side of Pittsburgh. And so I was hired to be a custodian, all right, cleaning toilets, bathrooms, you know. I was just happy to be in the ministry and helping out, you know what I mean? I was happy doing that. And I had one of my first counseling appointments. There was a larger family that came to the church. They received Christ in the church, you know, and they had like five kids. Now, this family came out. They came out of the world big time. They had been in severe alcoholism, you know, the family. They had come out, gotten born again in the church, and so they had called the church for a counseling appointment. So the pastor said, Keith, can you counsel this family and so forth? You know, so, well, the husband and wife, long story short, they came up and they met with me. And so as a usual thing, he said, well, what's the problem so you can get a solution to the problem, right? And so he said, well, pastor, you know, we don't know anything about this stuff, but, you know, we're new to this. We know that our lives are changed. We just got saved a week ago, but we have some things going on inside of our house that we're really concerned about. And they said that ever since they were saved, they said stuff started moving in their house. Yeah, I said, well, what do you mean by that? She said, we'll be sitting there in our living room, and all of a sudden, a picture will just fall off the wall, randomly, just fall off. And not only that, there'll be a chair in this corner of the room. It'll scoot all the way across the room and stop without anybody touching it. Well, in the natural, if you don't know what that is, that will freak you out. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You know, like Scooby-Dooby-Doo, you know what I'm saying? and they were just, you could see fear on them. They were frightened, like, what is going on here, you know? And just things like this happening. Furniture moving, you know, pictures falling off the wall, and, you know, they're just kind of freaked out by this, you know. And well, I knew exactly what it was. They had just received Christ. Now, this family, they came out of a background of drugs and alcohol, and I mean, they were steeped in it, okay? But they got free. They got born again. They received Christ, okay? And I knew this, that the enemy was just upset at their decision to make Jesus their Lord. I just knew that. And I said to this couple, I said, they had this very concerned look on their face, and I understood why. And so, through the Lord's help, I said, look, I know exactly what's going on here. We're going to deal with this. Right here, right now, in this office, we're going to take authority. They didn't even know what it meant to take authority or have authority over the enemy. They never heard that before. So we all grabbed hands, and I prayed, and we prayed, and I took authority. I said, Lord, these are evil spirits that are in their house. They're upset because of the decision that they just made. Now, we're going to take authority over these evil spirits that are operating in their house, okay? And they came back a few weeks later, almost a month later, I think it was, probably more like 3 weeks. And they said, and they saw me in the hallway. This was there was a few hundred people in this church. So they pulled me aside and they said, Pastor, we got to tell you something. That ever since we prayed together that day in the office, we haven't had one manifestation. In fact, we've had great peace inside of our house as a result of this. Okay? I said, well, thank God. That's you have authority. We have authority over the enemy. And I wanted to say that because there are certain things that we have to understand when it comes to dealing with these types of things. And we saw that last week in this battle that Jesus had. And I always had the impression that Satan appeared to Jesus. You know, like a person would appear to you. But I don't believe that's the case, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we, yet he didn't sin. Okay? Now, how many of you here have ever had the devil appear to you and tempt you? Anybody here? Okay. Because if he appeared to you, you would say, ah, there he is right there. I'm not going to yield to him. You know what I'm saying? And I think it was Smith Wigglesworth who had, under his ministry, 24 people were raised from the dead, physical death under his ministry. I think you can follow that man's faith. Of course, he lived back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and over in England. It had tremendous revival across the world, actually. And he was known for his bold faith, supernatural bold faith. And one day, this actually happened. He was in his room getting some rest. This is kind of funny. And all of a sudden, he heard some noise, and so he turned his lamp, his lantern on, you know, and back then they had lanterns and stuff, so he turned it on, and all of a sudden, he looked, and he saw, there was a rocking chair in his room, he saw the devil sitting in his rocking chair. He saw him. Now, this man knew who he was in Christ Jesus, okay? Now, most people would have been freaked out, like screaming at the top of their lungs, or you know what I'm saying? Like those movies that show, you know what I'm saying? But you know what he did? He looked at him, he says, oh, you. He blew the lamp out and went back to bed. Say, what? He knew that he had authority over the enemy. He said, I don't have time for you. He just blew the candle out and went right back to bed. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. You see, when we know who we are in Christ Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension was all done for you and for me. Okay? Jesus didn't need victory over Satan. God didn't need victory over Satan. We did. Because of the sin nature. Because of where we came from. And so when Jesus was raised from the dead, he did that for you and for me. And he was raised over death, hell, and the grave, over demons, evil spirits. And he gave you and me authority over those evil spirits. Amen? Let's go to 1 John here. Josh, I know this isn't in the notes, but 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. You know, I want to show you something here that will help you. This isn't in our notes here today, but that's all right. 1 John chapter 4. In just a second, we'll bring it up here. All right. We're just going to read the first four verses, I believe. Now, the Apostle John is writing this, and he said this in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And in verse 2. Hereby we know the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is, notice this, the spirit of Antichrist. All right? Wherefore you've heard that it should come, even already is now in the world. Now before we read on here, the spirit of Antichrist means anti-anointing. Now, we know that the Bible talks about there's a man coming, and he's called the Antichrist, all right? He opposes all that God does, all right? You and I are not going to be here for that. As Christians, we will be taken up. The Bible says we will be raptured up before the tribulation when the Antichrist is manifested. And I don't have a lot of time to get into that today, but needless to say, right now in the earth, there's the spirit of Antichrist, against God. How many of you have seen that? Okay, people that are against God, they hate God, all right? That spirit is in the earth. Let's read the next verse. He says this, but you, talking to the believer, you and I, he says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Now, who's the them that he's talking about? The spirits, Antichrist, spirit that he just mentioned. God bless you. Amen. When John the Apostle says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, notice he didn't say, you will overcome them. He said, you what? have. Now, have is past tense, isn't it? Right? Say, if you ask, did so-and-so show up? Yeah, they have arrived. Well, it's done. And so he says, you're of God, little children, and you have overcome them. That's the evil spirits that he talked about. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I want you to say with me, now, this might be a first time for this, but sometimes when you say it out loud, in fact, I know all the time when you say it out loud, it registers in your spirit. I want you to say this with me out loud, everybody. Say, the greater one, lives, dwells, and abides on the inside of me. Praise God. Now, what's going to happen is when you begin to, you know, repeat that phrase, that's a biblical, as you can see, that's a verse. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, you don't understand, Brother Keith. I just came to know the Lord recently. The greater one dwells on the inside of you. You know, here's the beautiful thing about Christianity is when you come to Jesus and you make him your Lord and your Savior just by saying, Jesus, come into my heart. The Lord takes every single one of your sins that you've ever committed. He removes it and buries it in the sea of forgetfulness, the Bible says. It's as if you're a brand new baby. The Bible says you're newborn babes in Christ Jesus. It's as if you had no past. Okay? And not only that, when you become a Christian, inviting Jesus into your heart, God now places his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on the inside of you. So you're not just a forgiven sinner. You were a sinner. You're saved by grace now. And the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's good news, even on a snowy day. Amen? And when he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that is a present day reality. Well, could have fooled me, Brother Keith. I don't feel like the greater one's on the inside of me. Well, you don't have to have a goosebump to figure that out. You don't have to have a special feeling. The fact is, the greater one dwells on the inside of you. Amen. Amen? There have been times, I remember way back in the day, you know, back 35 years ago, and I was just getting a hold of these things. And I would make myself look in the mirror. And I would talk to myself. That's biblical. Do you know that? Meditation means to mutter. The Bible talks about meditating on the Word of God. Meditation means to speak, to ponder, to mutter, to speak out loud. And so I would look into the mirror because I was facing major defeat in my life. And it seemed like I went from defeat to defeat to failure to failure. That's what it felt like in my life. So the Lord was trying to change my image of the way I saw who I was in the natural. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know most of us are not born with a whole ton of confidence? You know, most of us, there's been deficiencies in our lives. You know, something went wrong here. Something was in the family tree. Something went wrong there. You know what I mean? But the good news is you have a new father now. Amen. Amen? God is your father, and he's a perfect father. So, you know, whatever deficiencies that there were in the natural, and we all had them, we can all look back and say, well, there was a lot missing there and a lot missing there, you know, and so maybe that's why I am today. The good news is we don't have to stay the way we are. That's right. Amen? We don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to live a defeated life. We can walk in life, the Bible says, ruling and reigning as kings. That's the Bible, okay? So anyway, greater is he. I would look into the mirror and I would say this. That's, you know, Keith, look at yourself right now. Amen. Because I needed victory bad. You know, I was so tired of failing. And until you get sick and tired of failing, you're not going to get victory. You have to say to yourself on the inside, I'm tired of living the way I am from paycheck to paycheck, from defeat to defeat. I'm tired of living like there's got to be a better way. And thank God there is. And so I would begin to say, Keith, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, at first, when I would do that, I'd feel kind of strange doing it, you know, talking into a mirror. You know what I mean? I'd feel kind of weird doing that. But I'm telling you what, in the process of time, a short time after that, it began to register on the inside of me. And I began to say over hundreds of times, it doesn't take much of an effort to do that, say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The greater one dwells and abides in the inside of me. And I would just keep saying that over and over and over again because I was desperate for victory. I was like the guy they threw out of the boat and couldn't swim. And I'm just bobbing up trying to get just a little bit of air and I go back under. And you're just fighting for that next breath to survive. That's where I was in my walk, okay? That's where I was as a person. And so I was just desperate for answers. And thank God the Word became my answer. I'm so glad that someone took time out to share with me the Word of God, the church that I was involved with at that time, to share these things with me about being an overcomer in this life and victorious. I knew nothing about this prior to that, you see. And as I got that Word in my heart and in my mouth, I began, it's just like Jesus spoke to the enemy. The enemy fled. The enemy left. Amen? One time I remember this, the first time I ever got healed. I was back, this is in 1981. I was driving, I just graduated from high school in 79. I'm driving a truck for a mining company. Okay, got a job right out of high school driving a truck. And I would drive like through Ohio, West Virginia, mostly West Virginia, to the mines and deliver parts, okay? And so I had a lot of time in the cab of this truck. It was a red Ford F-150. If that doesn't mean anything anyway. I'm just giving you little details here. And I remember I was on Route 70 going east, and I was in New Stanton, Pennsylvania. Everybody heard of that before? I was in New Stanton, Pennsylvania. I was driving. That's before the whole highway system there. So there's houses and stuff and right along the highway there. And I'm listening to R.W. Shambach on the radio. He was an evangelist at the time, you know, powerful man of God. A lot of good things through this man. And he was teaching about healing on the broadcast on my AM radio. And I mean, he wasn't teaching. He was preaching about, you know, God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be whole in your life. He wants you to be healed. Well, I had just started hearing stuff like that. And so he was saying, you have to get mad at the devil sometimes in order to receive from God. And so I remember so vividly back in that time when I was going through, I would have every spring, this is in the spring, I would suffer these allergies so bad. My eyes would get so itchy and just watering that they would almost close up because of the pollen and stuff that was in the air. It was terrible. And it was like you couldn't scratch your eyes enough. It just, well, you couldn't get relief. And it was just nasty, you know. Now, for years, I just put up with that because I didn't know any better. I thought, yeah, that's just part of the package. You don't got to deal with this, you know. But I began to realize through the teaching of the Word of God that I don't have to tolerate sickness and disease in my physical body. That was an eye-opener to me. Now, why some people fight against the healing message is beyond my imagination. Because that's the remedy, that's the answer for healing in our bodies. So here's what happened to me. Is as I'm driving down there, all of a sudden I just got mad. But it was a good anger. I wasn't ticked off at anybody. I was mad at the devil. And I remember in the cab of that truck on Interstate, I was driving when this happened. I can show you the exact spot. I know exactly where it is to this day. And I'm not going to say it as loud as I did. I'd probably shock you out of your chairs right now. But I just, no one else in the truck except me and God, you know. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I finally got mad. And I said, Satan, you take these allergies and you pack your bags. However, I said, and I said, you get out of here. I resist you in the name of Jesus. And by his stripes, I'm healed. And within 30 seconds, every symptom left my eyes. In 30 seconds, every single symptom left just like that. My mind almost had a hard time believing it. But it was true. It happened because it was the first time that it ever happened that I had ever been healed before. And what astounded me was this stuff really works. The Word of God really works. And when you take the Word of God and you speak the Word of God over your circumstances in your life, whatever the circumstance is, well, it could be your relationships, your body, your finances, I mean, any area of your life. When you speak the Word of God over that, God begins to work in that situation. You remember when Jesus, after He spoke the Word, what happened? The angels came. The devil left them, but it says the angels showed up and they began to minister to Jesus. Amen? And I'm telling you, every single one of you in this room, every single one of you in this room, you have mighty angels. Amen? Before the service, Brother Glenn was sharing some things, and I've preached the same thing myself, but, you know, we get the impression that, at least I did when I was growing up in my Methodist Sunday school, that angels, because all the pictures on the wall were little babies with wings, like these were the angels. It's like make-believe, you know what I'm saying? So my concept of what angels were because of the... And I remember you could move their arms and stuff. You know those things they used to put on the wall in Sunday school? They're movable and stuff, and they plaster them on the walls. And you'd see, they were always babies with little wings. So that was my concept of what angels were. Wrong. Because there are no such thing as baby angels. Did you know that people... That when people pass away, they don't become angels. Did you know that? That's not even scriptural. That would be a digression. That would not be a promotion. Okay? Because angels have been sent to minister to you and to I who are heirs of salvation. Angels are in a class lower than us. Did you know that? I don't have time to get into that today, but the Bible says God made us in His likeness and in His image. He did not make angels in His likeness and in His image. They've been sent to help us, to serve us, to protect us in situations in life. All right? They're actually looking up to us. Okay? Now, I know I'm kind of going all over the place here today, but how do you activate angels in your life? When you say what God's Word says, every time I get on an airplane, before we walked, we just did it. 2 days ago, we got on the airplane, come back from Branson, laid hands on that plane and said, in the name of Jesus, let us pass over to the other side. Jesus said that. Unharmed, wingtip to wingtip, front to back, inside and out, angels over this aircraft in Jesus' name. We get on that thing, we don't worry about it. We're going to go to the next place. And even going down there, we hit some turbulence, man. And I mean, we're rocking and rolling in the middle of the air, whoo, up and down, you know. And I just looked at my wife, and I just smiled. I said, aren't you glad we prayed? We're going to get to the next destination. And the pilot got on. He kind of teased people about kissing the top of the ceiling if they don't stay in their seats, you know, because of the dropping and, you know, that kind of a thing. But the truth of the matter is when you say what God's Word says, you can be protected. Listen, you don't have to be saved for 10 years, gone to Bible school, know 41 scriptures before this starts to work for you.
That's right.
You can be could have been saved last week in the church service, and you say one scripture and the devil has to flee from you.
Amen.
Amen? Because, you know, listen, you don't graduate into these things like you go through first grade, second grade, third grade, and all of a sudden you attain a certain place. The minute that you were saved, Jesus gave you total authority over the enemy the second you got saved. Jesus did that for you. So you don't have to wait till you're like saved for 15 years and you're walking in this stuff. You can begin to operate in this right now. Right now. Isn't that good? And so anyway, let's go over here real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 again. And we'll wrap this up here this morning. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would, we saw this last week. I believe that the main way, and we're talking about the battleground, is between your ears. I want to say that again. The battleground is between your ears, your thoughts, your mind. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We'll stop right there. Now, we saw, you know, last week that there were three words that I brought out here that are significant. And we're talking about the battlefield, okay, which is your mind. And all of us have a mind. But the primary way that the enemy tries to fight us is in our thought world, in our thought life. Okay? Now notice Paul says this, he says three words. He says thoughts, number two, imaginations, and number three, strongholds. Let's say thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. One more time. Thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. If someone has a thought, which we all do, and that thought goes unchecked, then the enemy can have an inroad into our lives. But see, we're not ignorant of his devices, okay? Satan always comes with a bad thought, and if we accept that thought, dwell on that thought, then that thought can become an imagination where we're thinking about it all the time. And the final analysis, the Bible calls it a stronghold. In other words, something that has a grip on you. You understand that? And this is always, always how the enemy operates. He'll bring a thought, you know, and thoughts of defeat, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of failure, you know, and like you don't have any future ahead of you, that kind of a thing, you know. And if we get to thinking on that, I tell you, you can become depressed just like that. But the good news is if you recognize where that thought's coming from, you know, just because you have a bad thought doesn't mean that's your thought. Did you know that? If you have a bad, evil thought, and thoughts come to all of us, right? They come to all of us. Just because you have a bad thought doesn't mean that that's your thought. But the enemy will try to make you think, you know, if you were such a Christian, if you were such a good person, you wouldn't be thinking like that. Look at you, thinking like that. Well, that's not your thought. Are you with me? A number of years ago, I was ministering in a church in Apollo, Pennsylvania. A pastor friend of mine had gone on vacation. And these things come to me when I'm ministering. You know, even though I've shared them before, I'll share them again. Brother Hagin freed me from the fear of repetition. Because he would repeat things over and over until people get it. Long story short, I was ministering in this church, and my wife and I, because they had flown out somewhere to minister, so they asked us to take their service for them. This is 20-some years, probably close to 30 years ago. We were ministering in this little church in the country in Apollo, and ministered the Word of God. Had an altar call after the service. People came up for healing, okay? There's probably 10 or so people that came up. But I noticed this. There's some men, there's some women that came up that needed, you know, we took some time after the service, prayed for them, so forth and so on. And there was a woman, a young woman, probably in her early 20s that came up. And I noticed she had a green baseball hat on, you know, and I just happened to look up when I was praying for her, and it was one of these kind of hats where you kind of custom make them. There wasn't somebody didn't make it; she made it herself. And there was these words written across the front of her baseball cap, and it said "dummy." I thought that's a little bit odd. No, not a little bit. That's really odd. You know what I'm saying? But she had this green, ugly-looking baseball hat on, and it said the words "dummy" across her. I mean, big, bold words across the front of her baseball cap. She's wearing this hat in church. Okay. Well, when I came to her and I laid hands on her, I got angry in the spirit. Amen? Something just irked me. I thought, what are you doing wearing this hat? You know, here's a so-called believer in a church wearing a baseball cap that says dummy. All right? So as we ministered, I felt led. I whispered in her ear and I said this. I said, after we dismiss, I want you to come up to my wife and I want to talk to you. I just knew I was supposed to minister to her. I had no idea what I was going to say. I just knew the Lord wanted to touch her. And so after the service was over, she came up, you know, and And she still had that hat on, you know, and I said politely, I says, I want you to take the hat off and I want you to throw it away. And I said, where did this come from? Why are you wearing this hat that says dummy across your the top of your hat? And she kind of laughed a little bit, but I noticed she seemed really insecure. I mean, just really insecure, not just a little bit, a lot, okay? Well, the Lord's trying to get to her heart to minister to her. And she says, well, it's like this. My mom and dad nicknamed me when I grew up. They called me Dummy. So I just got a hat that said Dummy. I said, you take that hat off and you throw that thing out. Don't you ever put that on again, okay? Well, words paint pictures, okay? Remember the old statement, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words cannot hurt me. You ever heard that before? Oh, listen, sometimes you'd rather be hit by rocks, you know what I'm saying? Because you can heal up, you know, but man, people, I've been around long enough to see if people have had words spoken over them 35, 40 years ago, and it still affects them to this day. Some Nimrod teacher said something to them, you know, or some classmate or some relative or some parent said some degrading thing to that son or that daughter that was not of God. You know, and people don't know. They become a puppet on a string for the enemy, a tool of the enemy, you see. And they'll say things that are really hurtful, that dig deep, all right? Well, her parents kept calling her dummy, 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 all right? So she began, and now this is an extreme case of this, but you'll see where I'm going with this. She began to see herself as a dummy, stupid, all right? So she was just floundering through life, just terrible. She told me all this kind of stuff about her life growing up and all the misfortune things that she went through and just discouraged and depressed and everything. And I said, look, today is the beginning of your victory day. And I said, first of all, your parents might have thought that was cute, but I said, it's not cute. It was the enemy using them. What kind of a parent in their right mind would call a kid on a regular basis dummy or stupid? Are you with me? Now, that person didn't know that. That man or that woman, that father, that mother, they didn't know what they were doing. They were a puppet on a string for the devil to sow words, you see, words into that young woman. But see, God didn't see her as a dummy. God didn't see her as stupid. And I tell you, the love of God, my wife and I, it was just, we felt the compassion of Jesus when we were up there ministering, just rushed through us to her. We grabbed her hand, prayed for her. She was set free that day. And now it's tears of gladness and not sadness. You know what I'm saying? But those words were painted. It came as a thought. It became an imagination. And then it became a stronghold. She saw herself as a failure in life. And the thing is, God never saw her that way. The Lord never saw her that way. She saw herself that way because of a thought, because of words that were painted over her life. And that's why it's so important, folks, that you never know because of the power of your words, one word from God can change a person's life. And I'm very conscious of that. Everywhere I go, I'm telling you, I am always, always, always looking for good words to sow into people. I got to minister to two people yesterday flying back. We had a delay, went from Branson to Chicago, from Chicago to Pittsburgh. And on both legs of that trip, I was able to minister to two different people. Okay? And I just have an expectation, Lord, you're going to plant me in the right place. I'm going to be with the right people. People that are hoping, that are open, that are hungry, you know. And I got to minister to this young man in his 20, he was just turned 20 years old. Now, I didn't say a whole lot of scripture to him, but I felt led to just encourage him and to build him up. He was on one side, his father was on the other side, and I got to minister to both of them. It was awesome. It was awesome. I was totally physically exhausted. But when I started to minister to them, you know, being in that meeting, we were down there and just you're putting out constantly, you know what I'm saying? But as I began to minister to them and pour into them, God poured energy back into me. It was awesome, okay? One guy on the first on this, actually from Branson to Chicago. I sat next to this guy. Found out he was a backslidden man. He had received Christ years ago. Because of unfortunate circumstances, he fell out of the things of God. So I was able to talk to him and encourage him and give him some scripture, exchange his phone number. We're going to stay in touch, you know what I mean? But it was such a joy to be able, because of the circumstances in life, he didn't understand these things. I was able to put hope back into him through the words of our mouth. Amen? And I could just see his countenance lighten up as we're in the air. You know what I'm saying? Now, the point being is this. If the enemy can bring discouragement through words, God can speak words to you that are going to bring encouragement and give you a hope for an expected end. Okay? Now, I don't know this other than maybe what the Lord showed me right now, but some of you here, you might have had some words that were spoken over you that were extremely hurtful in years gone by. And that's kind of stayed with you for a long time. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you today, and the Lord, because of His great love for you, He is uprooting those words today, roots and all. The seed, the roots, yanking it out. And that thing is never going to hurt you again. Those seeds that came of discouragement, words that were spoken of you, they are broken in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes when people get under the influence of alcohol and things, I've seen that, they become so loose in what they're speaking because they're so, or drug, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? They become influenced by the enemy to say things, and they're not even aware of it. They're yielding to the enemy, and then they say things that are really hurtful to family members, things like that. And it can be really hurtful, can't it? Well, here's the good thing. That was a lie. There was no truth to it at all. There's no truth to it. What that person said to you, they were inspired by the enemy to say, to bring you down. But today, March the 2nd, what time is it here? At 11:46 a.m., it's still a.m., hallelujah, the Lord is uprooting that seed of discouragement that was sown to you. It might have been years ago, way back yonder, okay? But today, you are free. There was no truth to that at all. Amen. There was never any truth to it. Amen.
Amen?
Amen. I was back in the, I don't know if I was even born yet, but back in the early part of the 1900s, there was a thing that is actually a spoof. They came on the radio and said the Martians. They said the Martians are coming. They're taking over the planet and so forth. You know, and this was meant to be a joke. You know what I'm saying? The Martians are coming. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There are people that went out and committed suicide, not even realizing that was a joke on the radio. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But people took it to heart. They think, my God, I'm not going to let some Martian get a hold of me, some green person. So they went out and said, we're going to take care of this before they take care of us. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, there are people that committed suicide that day all because of that. All right? Now think about that. In their minds, this was real. In their thinking, they completely thought this was true. In reality, there was no truth to it at all. See, the devil, the Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Are you with me? And what he says to you in thought form, you can always bank on it, it's a lie. There's no truth to it whatsoever. Amen? There's no truth to it. That means you can laugh at him and say, you know, that's one way to really intimidate the enemy is you stand there and laugh at him because, hey, there's no truth to that. Amen? The devil says through a thought form, I'm going to take you out. You're going to leave this earth. You see, you just laugh at him. Say, no, I'm going to be on this earth a long time. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to fulfill my course, my destiny, fulfill the number of my days. The devil's not taking me out. Okay? And, but see, all these things, and I'm not trying to go all over the place here, but they start with, he said, a thought, then an imagination, then a stronghold. And I'll close with this scripture here, but this is probably back where all your pages are stuck together in your Bible, so we'll just bring it up on the screen. But Nahum, someone says, Nahu? Nahum. Chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, usually when you talk about strongholds, you think in the negative realm, right? But did you know there's also positive strongholds? Now, that's what I want to spend time on, is building a positive, biblical, scriptural stronghold in your life. See, a stronghold is a thought that has a grip on you. Okay? But notice this, the Lord is good. Everybody say, the Lord is good. And notice a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust him. You see, when you trust the Lord and you know the Lord is good, in the day of trouble, he will be your stronghold. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, he'll be your stronghold. Amen. Anytime I've had, even more recent, when I had bad news given to me about my physical condition and doctors saying certain things, I ain't letting that thought get inside my mind, because the Word of God is my stronghold. And I believe the Word of God is more powerful than the word of a doctor. Amen. The Word of God is more powerful than the word of a banker. And His Word is final authority. And so I can lay down at night and I can lay my head back and I can sleep in peace. God's going to take care of me. And He will take care of you. He will take care of us because He loves us. You know how many times, you stop and think about how many times the enemy has lied to you in your mind, you know, that this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and you look back and say, none of it happened. Because what does he do? He wants to paint the bleakest picture in your mind of defeat and failure, going under, failing in life, fearful thoughts, concerning thoughts, you know what I'm saying? But the truth is, God is going to take care of his own. And I'm telling you, he's going to take care of every one of you in this church. Are you with me? Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. That's all I have to say today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we pray? Thank you, Lord. Well, it's still snowing out there. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for these wonderful people that are here today, Father. Thank you that you have a plan and you have a purpose for each and every one of them, that they will fulfill their destiny and they will walk in the fullness of the things that you have for them, Lord. Now, there are those that are here today that perhaps you're a little concerned about your future. You know, what's the future hold? What's up ahead? What's going to happen if? And so all these questions sometimes can rise in your mind and in your thoughts. But the Lord would say to you today, and I believe I'm speaking from His heart today, that He is going to take good care of you as you trust Him. You say, well, how do I trust the Lord? You say it, Lord, I trust you. And when you begin to say that every day, Lord, I trust you, though you may not feel like you are, you actually are. You say, Lord, I trust you today. I trust you with this work day. I trust you with this business endeavor. I trust you with my son or my daughter. I trust you with this troubled relationship. I trust you, Father. And as that scripture says that we just read, He's a stronghold in the day of trouble for those that trust Him. And so today, I release the peace of God right now into everyone that's in this room. You don't have to have 100, 200, 300 people for this to happen. You can have just one person that's open and hungry, and God will touch you. And the Lord is going to take well, good care of you that are in this room. You do not have to be concerned. You do not have to be worried about anything. Your Father, right now, presently, is taking care of you. He's already gone up ahead to prepare a way for you, to prepare doors. There are doors that God will still open up to you. Right doors, not wrong doors, the right doors. And He's already done that. He's already gone up ahead to take care of you. He's not just the God of the now. He's the God of the future. Hallelujah. So I speak peace to everyone here now in this room. It all shall be well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't try to figure out with your mind how it's going to work out. Just trust the Lord. You're not supposed to figure everything out in your mind. Lord, how's that going to happen? How's this going to happen? How's that bill going to be paid? How's this thing going to happen? So on and so forth. If you trust Him, He will take good care of you. And every one of you in this room, you're in good hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged today. He loves you. Jesus loves you so much. You can't do anything to make Him love you more. He's already given Himself completely to you for the rest of your life. Thank you, Lord. You're in good hands. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what is that? Speak that again, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just wait on the moment, on the Lord in prayer just for a moment here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear this in my heart. Someone, I don't even know who it is. I just heard this in my spirit. Lord, I'll sure try harder. I'll sure try harder. But the Lord was saying to you, I'm not looking for you to try harder, because that's self-effort. I'm looking for you to just say, Lord, I need your help. I look to you to help me. Hallelujah. You don't have to try. It's a matter of yielding. And you say, Lord, I'm yielding myself to you. I need you to help me. Oh, I tell you, when you say that, He will show up. As sure as I'm talking right now, the Lord will show up. Because you're not looking to yourself to help yourself. You're looking to the Lord. And anytime you look to the Lord, that's true humility. You're humbling yourself before God, and He will lift you up. He will raise you up. He's not asking you to do it. He's not asking you to try harder. It's a matter of yielding and say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I yield myself to you. And it's when you do that, and as you do that, you will see my right hand. You will see my power and my strength on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Whoever that is, Lord, I ask you to strengthen them. Help them right now in Jesus' name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'll say this and then we'll receive our offering and we'll dismiss. Here's what I saw in my spirit. The securest place that you could ever be in life is when you're looking to the Lord. I'm telling you, it could look bad with the economy. It could look bad with your job. It could look bad with family members. But when you trust Him, you are in the most secure place that you could possibly be, because He is going to take care of you. I just feel that so strong in my heart today. And I don't know about you, but that just makes me want to run to my Father even more. Amen? Amen. To trust Him. Praise the Lord. Say, I trust the Lord.
I trust the Lord.
Close your eyes and look up to heaven. Say, Lord, I trust you,
Lord, I trust you.
Today,
today
with everything in my life right now. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's all it takes. You just yielded yourself to the Lord right there. I trust you, Lord. Praise God.